The reading is taken from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, my name is Nico. I'm one of the ministers here at church, and today we're celebrating Pentecost. This is one of the big Christian celebrations, and it is as important as Easter or Christmas. And that is because this is when the church was born. And looking at how something was born gives us a good idea of what its identity is and how it should be. Pentecost was already a Jewish celebration, so there was loads of people coming into Jerusalem to celebrate. And this is the perfect time for God to do what he did. And so we find that the disciples were gathered praying and waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had given them. And suddenly they receive that promise and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're not sure what actually happened and how it all panned out, it's hard to really know. But we do know that they came out and they were full of energy and enthusiasm, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. And they were speaking about the wonders of God in different languages. And this is really significant because the people who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate were Jews from different lands. And actually they were seen by other Jews as second-rate Jews and not pure enough, not good enough. And as they come in, they hear about the wonders of God in their own languages, in the languages they spoke in the lands. And they're questioning these disciples and saying, what are they doing? Are they drunk? How can these Galileans be speaking in our own tongue? But the heart of what happened is that there's a big shift in Pentecost. We move from a time where actually God in the Old Testament would speak and give gifts to specific people who carried out his work. And we would see that in kings or prophets, in priests. But everyone else didn't seem to have those gifts, that empowerment from God. And in Pentecost, what has shifted is that now everyone and anyone has access to that power, to those gifts. Anyone who is willing can now be used by God to do his work and to do his things. So this is how the church was birthed. This is how it all started. And it's very important. It's a bit like, imagine if someone discovered the cure for COVID. And then after that, someone has to start producing those vaccines and distributing them and send them out. And the resurrection of Christ is a bit like the discovery of that cure. And Pentecost is actually when that is distributed around the earth and around the land, is when that good news and that great thing that's just been received is now spreading out everywhere. So the Holy Spirit is the one that gives them that life to be able to go out and share with others. So that first church was really exciting and really energized. But slowly, and actually it came quite quickly, the church became complacent and irrelevant and unattractive. And this has happened throughout the history of the church. And every time that happens, God does something similar to Pentecost. He starts stirring people to go back to the origins, to look back at what that early church was all about, and to move people to go back to that first image. And that's why Pentecost and how the church was born is so important to us. The distinctiveness of that first church was that they knew that they couldn't do what God was calling them to do in their own strength. They knew that there was no way they could convince people about Jesus being the Messiah. They knew that they couldn't give them peace or heal them or comfort them in the way they could through God. And that's the big thing about that first church, is that actually they were looking to partner with God into working with him for him to be able to touch people's lives, to do what only he can do. And as a church, if we want to be alive and if we want to bear the fruit of what we're called to do and to do God's mission, it's impossible to do by ourselves. We can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, as that first church did. So how can we be empowered to be the people God calls us to be like that first church? And I'd like to share two things with you. First is something that we'll find in our gospel reading today. So I'm going to read a passage from the gospel. Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? From this passage, we see that the first thing we need to do is to trust, to believe, to hunger, to want that fullness of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to come into our lives. And secondly, we need to ask, to pray, to worship, to tell God, this is what I want. Please come and fill me. And in this passage, we realize that if we ask, he will give. That he more than us wants to fill us with his presence, with his love, with his Holy Spirit. And we are living times where it's quite exciting to see what God is doing. I know these are horrible times in many ways. There's a lot of hurt and pain and a lot of difficult things going on. But also, we can see a lot of life in God's church. We can see a lot of good things coming out of this. Just think about it, how you are now able to speak to your neighbors more, or you're much, much more engaged with their needs and chatting and seeing how we can help each other out. Our food bank giving is so much more than ever before. Food banks are saying that they're receiving 3 or 4 times more than what they would usually. We are able to distribute food to so many people who are in need just around us. We are seeing nationwide that more or less 5% of the people in this nation who weren't praying before are now starting to pray. People who have never joined services are joining services to see what God is doing or what God has to say in all of this. So in many ways, we are seeing some similarities with that first church. And I would love us to join in to what God is doing in these times. I would love us to be open and wanting to be filled by the Holy Spirit, to be able to do the mission that we can't do by ourselves, to be able to do what we are called to do, which we can't do without His strength. So this is how the church started. A group of people who are trusting God, who are really excited by what He was doing, trying to extend His kingdom, sharing the good news with people around them, helping the widows and the orphans. It's just an amazing way in which a church started. And I believe that as a church, we always have to go back to those origins, go back to that beginning and try and live our life as that first church did. So I'm going to invite you now to pause and to pray and to ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit as He did those first disciples. Just open up and say, God, fill me with Your Holy Spirit. I want that peace. I want that love. I want that energy and that life. I want those gifts that You want to give me to be able to do Your work. So let us pause and be quiet for a while. And just in your own way, pray to God. Amen.